Proverbs chapter 4, chapter 4 and verse 13, there's a number of verses that I could read that convey the same idea in the Scriptures. Matter of fact, I'll probably reference a number of others because I want to look at the subject of instruction this evening. I haven't had a great deal of time. I normally don't have a great deal of time to prepare for a message on Wednesday evenings. This particular week has been even a little busier, and that's part because last evening was just so beautiful. You can't be inside studying, can you? You got to be outside. And for me, you got to be out, take advantage of those nice, beautiful evenings that you have, and get some things done. I've often thought, and that's why it's hard, and I have to stop myself sometimes from saying, I don't have enough time, or I could always make a little more time. Me and my wife, we've talked about this. There are some moments of downtime for me, and I realized that I could use those moments of downtime to study, or to do something else. But I think it might not be in the best interest of my health. Even Jesus told his disciples to come apart sometimes and to rest, though they didn't have much rest. So don't use that as an excuse to live a life of leisure. But this week has been extremely difficult to find time. Even this evening, I'm trying to leave work. They asked me to do something, set something up, make sure it's all working, and so here I am, and it's 5 o'clock, and nobody's there to test what I need to test, and here it's 5:30, and nobody's still there. And fortunately, my supervisor, he's very understanding about that. And I said, I need to go. I don't know if they've canceled or what, but this building is empty, it's deserted, the doors are locked, and I don't think anybody is showing up. So that just kind of further strains my preparation. And so when that happens from time to time, simply what I do is give to you what's been on my heart, what I have been thinking about, what I have been reading on. And that's why for the last number of Wednesdays, I've simply went to a portion of Scripture that I've read recently in my daily Bible study, because as I'm reading it, it gives me the opportunity to meditate on it, to think about it, and therefore I'm killing two birds with one stone, as they say. Not only doing my daily Bible reading, but I'm preparing for my Wednesday evening message. Well, let me read our text, and then I'll tell you where I'm going here. It says in verse 13, Proverbs chapter 4, "Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." There's one of those verses that we need to stop for a moment and ponder. The subject matter of the verse is instruction. And it explains to us how we're to approach instruction. And I think most of us know what instruction is, don't we? When we buy something that's mechanical or electronic, it comes with an instruction manual. How you're to use it. If you want to do something that says, this is how you do it. And you know what? Most instruction manuals don't only have a section where it tells you how to properly use it, but normally before you ever get to that point, you'll have all of these warnings and cautions. Don't do this. Don't do that. This can be harmful. And we understand that manufacturers put those warnings on things because they have been faced with lawsuits due to people operating this piece of equipment incorrectly. Titus was looking at the four-wheeler the other day, and I guess he can read now a little bit, right? but he wasn't really reading the instructions that are plastered on the four-wheeler, and they're on all the new ones, but they have pictures. So the little guys can get it without reading. And here's a picture of two people on the four-wheeler, and it's got an arrow across through it. Like, you're not supposed to do that. And he's like, "Dad, we do that. We do that with three or four people." And I explained to him, they're just doing that to limit their liability. But we understand what instructions are. They don't necessarily have to be negative in nature. But most of the time, that is how we perceive instruction. We've got to realize that our old carnal nature does not like to be reproved. It does not like to be rebuked. It does not like to be instructed. I don't like for people to tell me how to do something. Well, you think you know better than me? But when those type of thoughts arise, I realize that they are originating in my flesh, not in the Spirit. The Bible tells us here to take fast hold of instruction. Quickly, immediately. But that again, that's not natural. Naturally, most of us, when we are instructed, whether it be in a negative manner or in a positive manner, our first reaction is to back up, to dismiss, to find fault, not to take fast hold of instruction. It says, let her not go. Another way you could say that is don't dismiss it. Think about that for a second. Don't dismiss it. Keep her, for she is thy life. I don't know how you can use stronger language to convey this idea. She is thy life. Instruction. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1 it says this, whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. I could have began the message by asking the question, how many of you love knowledge? And everybody would have raised their hand and said, I love knowledge. Do you know that if you do, the Bible says you will love instruction. But notice it says, he that hateth reproof is brutish. In other words, you're not a very smart individual. You realize sometimes the only way we're going to grow for the Lord is for people to instruct us. Reproofs of instruction, another proverb says, are the way of life. It's the way of life. I printed off a number of verses that use the word reproof and the word instruction. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools don't like instruction. Proverbs 8:33, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Don't refuse it. Again, I say, don't dismiss it. Proverbs 9:9, give instruction to a wise man. What will he do? It says he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Hear counsel, Proverbs 19:20 says, and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. You see, if you'll heed the instructions, if you'll listen to it, you'll think about it, and you'll put it into practice, you in the end will be a better person. Here's how I want you to remember my subject matter for tonight's message. When you are instructed, ignore the who, ignore the how, and ignore the why. And instead you focus on the what. And I'll explain what I mean in just a moment, but let me repeat that. Ignore the who, the how, and the why. Because that will be our natural response, to focus on those things. But ignore those things and focus on the what, or the substance of the instruction and the rebuke. There's been a number of things that I have been reading this week. I know Brother Hanley's familiar with some of them. I've seen him post most of them on his Facebook account this week. Those of you that are in the adult Sunday school class, we've talked real recently about the subject of music. And there's, I don't know, maybe you'd call it a feud going on in independent Baptist circles because Brother David Cloud brought out some information about Lancaster Baptist Church, which is also the home of West Coast Baptist Bible College out in California. And they have used some contemporary Christian music. They've cleaned it up and they've used it in their services and such. And so, you know, Brother Cloud thinks that they are on the wrong road. And so he rebuked them publicly. And there was an article, as a matter of fact, Brother Hanley's post kind of brought it to my attention, and I'm concluding that this article was probably written in response to Brother Cloud's reproof. And the title of it was 12 Qualities of Unjust Criticism. Now again, nowhere does he reference the rebuke of Brother Cloud, but again, as you read through the article, I know that this has to be a response to it. And just if I would have taken and read this article 2 months ago, I would have looked at it and said, you know what, there are some very good points in this article. If you're not familiar with the controversy, you can read it and say, you know what, there are some very good points in this article. But understanding the context in which it was given, it sets off a lot of red flags to me. And this is why. Because what they're doing here is focusing on who's criticizing them, how they're criticizing them, and why they're criticizing them. But there's not one word said about the substance of the criticism. And it's the substance of the criticism that will determine whether or not the criticism is just or unjust. Because I want you to understand this. You could refuse, you could dismiss anybody's reproof in your life by examining the person that gave it, maybe how they reproved you, or coming up with some ulterior motive as to why they might be reproving you. It's very easy to dismiss criticism if you want to. Because most of the time, it's going to come from a person who's in the form of a man. And all men are sinners. And so if you look hard enough, you're going to find something wrong with that individual. And you're going to say, who do they think they are criticizing me when they have their own faults? And you may be right in regards to that individual. If you look or examine the way they approached you closely enough, you may be able to find fault in the way that they approached you, in the way that they criticized you. A lot of people didn't like the fact that Brother Cloud did this publicly. I don't like the fact that he did it publicly. But that's between him and God. I've made it a habit to look at the substance of criticism and reproofs and rebukes and determine whether or not it's accurate. Because how someone reproves me or someone else is between them and God. And I'm simply saying you can find fault with how people criticize you if you look hard enough. I remember one particular church member was being disciplined from their church because they were living in fornication. I believe that's what it was. I know they were in the process. They got a divorce, and I think maybe before the divorce, maybe after the divorce, they began to live with someone else. The preacher, the pastor was made aware of it, and he called the person into his office and said that this isn't right. I wasn't privy to the specifics of the conversation. I wasn't present. But the particular church member said the preacher did it in a prideful manner. He was more concerned about the church than he was me. And I don't know. Maybe that was true. Maybe it wasn't. From the perspective of that church member, did it really even matter? No. And that's my point. It didn't matter. I want you folks to understand, you know how hard it is for some people to confront situations like that? It's very difficult as a pastor to do that. You understand that if you have seen somebody doing something in their life that you know is harmful for them and that it isn't right, you know what? You probably are a little reluctant to go and to tell them. And if you have to, and if you find yourself in a position where you have to say something, normally when you go to them and you say something, it is so awkward for you that it doesn't come out the very best way. And I'm saying that because many times when someone criticizes someone, they reprove them, they rebuke them, because it's awkward and it's hard for them, it might appear that they're prideful. Matter of fact, that they don't care. But that's not always the case. And regardless of whether they care or not, obviously they care, they wouldn't be confronting you with it. I'm saying don't focus on who is instructing you. They may or may not be the most upstanding person in the world. Don't focus on how they instruct you, nor should you focus on why. That is their motives. Because most of the time, there's no way for you to know their motives. Sometimes, maybe because of the way they say things, you can speculate. But regardless of who, how, or why they're instructing you, you need to ignore those factors and focus on the substance of the instruction. Because if you don't, you will get to a point in your life where you will dismiss the instructions of everyone. Because focusing on the who, how, or the why, you could dismiss every single person's instructions to you. And if, again, this is the response of a Baptist church to criticisms that they've received, I gotta believe they are on a dangerous downward slope. Again, I may not agree 100% with how it was handled, how it was brought about. I always do my very best to conceal any faults or sins of other individuals. If it's within my power to do so, I do that. Because I, again, think that's scriptural. But other men have got to make that decision for themselves. And again, that's between them and God. We need to be humble enough that we can receive instruction from anyone. Parents, if your children reprove you, it's not their place. And it may be your place to tell them that. Especially if they have a poor attitude. But if we're wise, we'll walk away and we'll consider even the reproof of our children. Young people, if you look hard enough, the older you get, you will find flaws, perhaps sins, in your own parents. Does that give you the right to dismiss their godly instruction? No. And if you allow it to, you will only hurt yourself. You'll only hurt yourself because they're trying to help you. Spouses do this constantly. You've gotten arguments with your spouse, I'm sure. And one brings out a fault of the other. And what does the other spouse do? Well, yeah, but what about you? And why do we do this? Because we want to dismiss the reproofs that are brought to our attention. And folks, when we do that, we are going contrary to the Scriptures. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Don't let her go. Don't get mad. Don't get defensive. Just get right. Just get right. We can accuse anybody of being a fault finder. We can accuse anybody of being a Pharisee. We can accuse anybody who's instructing us to be guilty of pride. And maybe they are. But that doesn't mean the substance of the reproof is incorrect. You remember David? He had the pink finger pointed in his face, didn't he? By Nathan. And Nathan said, "Thou art the man. Thou art the man." Of course, he had that little parable, that little story to soften him up a little bit. But but we don't see David responding incorrectly. He humbled himself when he repented. You know, there was another, I mentioned I've been reading a number of things this week. There was another article I read. It was rather lengthy. And it was an article written by Brother Cloud. He attended Tennessee Temple back in its heyday in the 70s. So he's very familiar with the institution. Nowadays, it's a institution that has hardcore rock and roll concerts and things like that. And that's over the space of, what, 30 years? They've changed that way. But I read, he had an article. It's rather lengthy. I thought about using it for a Bible study. I think it's about 17 pages long. And he just, he points out what he thought was wrong at Tennessee Temple and, I forget the name of the church. Highland Park Baptist Church. He points out what was wrong back in the 60s and 70s that perhaps led to their spiritual demise. And he indicated that there were people that warned against the things that they saw, but nobody listened. And so in the space of a generation, what was one of the most missionary-minded schools and churches in the world is nothing today. Nothing. And so I simply say we've got to listen to instruction. Listen to it. It's not going to be easy sometimes because it's coming from a person. Again, I guess this is something maybe the Lord has taught me over the last couple of years. There have been people who reproved me. And if I focused on the individual that was doing the reproving, and my flesh does this, I could dismiss it. That's what my flesh wants to do. I could dismiss it because of their own unjust conclusions. I could dismiss it for a number of reasons. But rather than do that, focus on the substance of the rebuke. And if we'll do that, we'll make ourselves better. Better. Second Timothy 3:16 says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. One of the purposes for God giving to us His Word is to reprove us. To reprove us. And to make us better. And if we're in the way of life, the book of Proverbs says, we will heed instruction. Heed instruction. Realize your flesh won't like it, but rather than yielding to your flesh, you yield to the Spirit of God. Again, do not focus on the who, the how, or the why, but you focus on the substance of the rebuke. You may not like the way the rebuke came. You may not like who it came from. You may not like what you suspect are their motives. But don't worry about that. That's between them and God. You focus on you. You focus on whether or not the instructions are godly instructions. And if so, listen to them. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Thank You for the many practical things that we can learn in the book of Proverbs. And God, I pray that we'd take some time this week to ponder this message, to ponder the thoughts of these verses. And Lord, might we take fast hold on instruction. Lord, may we not let it go. May we not quickly and easily dismiss it. But Lord, if it can make us better, help us to listen to it. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ladies, you can stay in here for prayer. Gentlemen, we'll go to the office.